Since 2001, Dave and Amy Freeman have traveled over 30,000 miles by kayak, canoe, and dog sled through some of the world's wildest places, from the Amazon to the Arctic, and were named National Geographic's Adventure of the Year this year. They've just completed their Paddle to DC expedition to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, where they paddled from Minnesota to Washington, D.C. They join us by phone now from Minneapolis. Good evening, Dave and Amy. Congratulations and welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Excited to talk to you.
Well, this is sort of a serendipitous moment. You know, Dick Swanson's here with me. We were in 3 months ago when you guys left.
That's right.
If I recall, it was the weekend of Labor Day. I think Friday, the end of August, you guys were on your way to Ely to start this expedition, paddle to D.C. Give us a quick recap, if you will, of the last 100 days. What have you been up to?
A lot of paddling, a lot of portaging.
Yeah.
100 miles of sailing and with our canoe on top of the sailboat. And then we did 40 presentations to about 3,000 people along the way, just stopped in communities like Grand Marais, Duluth, Ashland, Ottawa, New York City. All along the way, we did presentations. It was really good. It went really, really well. We met a lot of great people, talked to a lot of people about the Boundary Waters and what a special place it is. And by the time we got to D.C., it was getting really cold, and we were ready to stop canoeing. December is not the right time to be in a canoe.
Yeah, it sounds like you made it just in time. You know, of course, I think your news has been picked up quite all over the press nationally. The Star Tribune did a great article on you guys. I think it helps being Adventure of the Year with National Geographic. You know, your story is getting out there. And I heard about that rain and 40s or so when you were on the docks down in D.C. But come on, you're northern Minnesotans, right? It was like just like home.
Right. I realize it's peanuts to the weather you guys have been having. We'll have to re-acclimatize once we get up there.
Yeah, you were lucky to miss November. but you definitely got a weather window, and you were on the water. I can't believe some of the conditions you must have faced when it came to the cold and the wind and the waves. You know, were there some hard times, of course?
Yeah, there were. In particular, I remember being windbound on Lake Champlain. There were about like 5 foot swells out on the main body of the lake for a while that we had to wade out, and definitely other extreme cold, especially kind of after New York City. We had some. Well, but again, it's like, okay, I'm saying it was a little bit below freezing then, but that's not too bad for us Minnesotans.
And when we paddled into Washington, D.C., we paddled into the Washington Canoe Club, and we actually had about 24 people come down. It was 37 degrees and pouring rain. It was really nasty. But almost all of them were Minnesotans that had flown in, from Minnesota, and so they were out there with their umbrellas. A bunch of them hopped in canoes and paddled out to greet us. So
oh, that's sweet.
We were glad to have a hearty bunch to come and join us in D.C.
Yeah.
True fans. Now, how many of those folks were at your, what would be the christening or the sailing, what would be paddling away when you guys left the Boundary Waters? I saw you had a nice flotilla see you off. Were many of those folks in the receiving end of that?
Yeah, quite a few of them were, actually.
That's
we had
so
about
nice.
People send us off from the Voyager Outward Bound School right outside of Ely,
mm-hmm.
And there were 45 Minnesotans that came to D.C. During the 3 days that we were there going around and meeting with elected officials and government agencies, and quite a few of them were folks that had come, you know, to the beginning. A lot of them are from northeastern Minnesota, you know, sort of live and work in the Boundary Waters, and so they wanted to share their stories as well.
And who did you share them with? What was your reception at the Capitol?
Well, we met with most of the Minnesota, senators and representatives. One exciting thing was that we gave the canoe to the Forest Service. Chief Tidwell, the head of the Forest Service, accepted the canoe on behalf of the administration, and they're actually going to be putting SIG, our signature canoe, on permanent display in the Forest Service headquarters in D.C., so that, you know, people from all over the country, when they go to the Forest Service office, they'll be able to learn about the Boundary Waters and, you know, learn about northeastern Minnesota. So we're really excited that we found a good home for SIG.
SIG, now, what is, tell me more about the name of your boat.
Well, SIG is named both after Sigurd Olsen and the fact that people are putting their signatures on it.
Right. Right. And how many did you end up putting on? Did you keep track in a formal way? It looked too full to count when I last saw it.
Yeah, we don't have an exact count on the canoe, but we estimate over 2,000 signatures on the canoe. Our online petition generated about 10,000 signatures, and then through partner organizations, we'll have hopefully over 50,000 signatures that we'll be able to deliver. We're still working out the details on the petition delivery, but looks like that's going to happen probably in the first month, either January or February of 2015.
So there's still work to be done on this project.
Exactly, yeah. With all the media attention we were getting surrounding this, we decided it was too early to turn in the petition signatures because so many more people could have a chance to sign. So that's why we're still kind of ongoing with the petition.
Absolutely. It seems like you're halfway there. You know, there's so much surrounding these issues that, you know, we've sort of scratched the surface here. You were certainly celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, but you were also trying to get your message out about the mining and the Northeastern in particular in the Boundary Waters and the effects. And did you find that to be difficult in sections of the East where there was a lot of industry and a lot of, you know, commercial activity that you weren't exactly amongst the friends and the natives of your homeland? What was the reception like in some of the mining towns?
You know, I think we were really well received, and in places, you know, urban areas like, you know, New York City and a lot of the East Coast, where they're cleaning up Superfund sites. There are places you don't even want to touch the water, and so to hear us talking about the Boundary Waters, you know, this really special wild place, sort of a national treasure like a Yellowstone or a Yosemite, it really resonated with them because they don't have these crystal clear lakes where you can drink the water right out of them, you know, this pristine wilderness. And so people were very, very excited to hear about the Boundary Waters. A lot of the people we met had actually been to the Boundary Waters. And so they were very supportive and concerned about the mines that are being proposed.
And did you get a lot of exposure on the water? Did people in boats approach you? What was your, you know, most common means of meeting the folks? I know you mentioned some 40-odd town hall type meetings, and certainly you were portaging, so I suppose you met folks from every walk of life.
We did, yeah. Actually, you kind of reminded me of one of my favorite parts of the trip, but this was really unexpected, when we had a lawn portage basically from Annapolis into Washington, D.C. before we, like, launched the canoe on the Anacostia River. I mean, we were walking through urban streets, like on the sidewalk, and so many people. I mean, we're just this oddity there, right? No one's ever seen a canoe kind of going down the street. We had it on our little cart.
Yeah.
So every person we encountered would ask about it, and then after a brief conversation, they'd end up signing the canoe and the petition as well.
Wow.
So there were encounters like that, but then also certainly on the water, you know, other paddlers and when we were sailing, like other boaters, sailboaters and motorboaters.
Any other crusaders out there on similar quests or, you know, campaigns, missions? You know, this is a big world, but when you're really down on the water, perhaps it's a small world. Did you meet any of your friends out there?
Well, I think, because of the time of year that we were doing this, there really weren't very many other people out on the water. But we did meet some people along the way that helped us organize events or came to our events who had done, you know, done long paddling trips Some of them had done projects that, you know, really were raising awareness about a specific environmental issue. So we did encounter some of those folks, but it wasn't like, you know, they're paddling upriver, we're paddling down, and we cross paths. It wasn't quite like that.
I see. So it's
but
pretty...
lots of people, you know, we partnered with lots of local organizations, you know, riverkeeper organizations or chapters of the Sierra Club, different groups. And so we learned a lot about, you know, issues all over the country, and it was pretty inspiring to realize, you know, all these people that are working on issues just like what we're dealing with the sulfide ore mining in northeastern Minnesota, you know, they're working on all sorts of issues as well. So it was really interesting to meet them and learn about what they're doing. Some really dedicated people out there.
I bet. And you saw them from a unique perspective. We're speaking with Dave and Amy Freeman, who have just completed a paddle to D.C., a campaign and a purpose to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act and to bring awareness to the mining threat to the Boundary Waters. And they're joining us by phone from Minneapolis. They've got a whirlwind of press conferences and dates lined up. Are you guys engaged tonight at something happening soon, I understand?
Yeah, we are. We'll be giving a presentation shortly.
Wow. So
yeah, we're at the Minnetonka General Store. So we're, yeah, and we had another event in Stillwater last night, and we have one on Monday night in Ely. So we're sort of making the rounds, and hopefully we can come over to Grand Marais and see folks there. We can't wait to get back to Cook County.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you haven't been back since. I take it you're still traveling on your way home?
Right.
Yeah, we're still on our way north. We haven't made it home yet.
And I did a little snooping, and, you know, as far as your favorite place on the whole trip, there was no surprises there, right? Where did you enjoy the most?
Well, you know, our 8 days paddling along the border route from Ely to Grand Portage, right, and sailing across Lake Superior, I mean, I think those are two places that are pretty hard to beat. So, I mean, we saw a lot of neat places along the way, but it really just solidified, you know, northeastern Minnesota, this amazing place where we live is it's like no other place. We're all really lucky to live there.
Isn't that something? Did you see it just getting busier and busier and busier, sort of like driving east?
Yeah, basically.
And did you do a lot of locks and canals and that sort of, you know, sharing the lane with the big boat?
Yeah, most of the boats were gone. I mean, even like the big sailboats, they'd all sailed south out of Lake Champlain down the Hudson River. So we were one of the last boats sort of through the locks. But we did take, I bet we took close to 20, went through 20, close to 20 locks on several different waterways.
In both the canoe and the sailboat, or just the canoes, or the canoe?
Well, we went through just one lock in the sailboat, and that was at Sault Ste. Marie, to get from Lake Superior into Georgian Bay. And then all the other stuff was just in the canoe. Mostly, there's the Champlain Canal, which goes from Lake Champlain to the Hudson River, and so there were a bunch of locks on that we went through.
I bet that's exciting. Well, being a fellow harbor mate of your sailboat Yamaya out there, I can't help but ask its fate.
Well, Yamaya is in good hands. We had her hauled out of the water over in Georgian Bay, and so in the spring we'll have the pleasure of going back and retrieving her and sailing her home, rather than sailing her across from Cornucopia, her normal resting place for the winter. We just have a little longer trip to get back to Grand Marais.
I'll say. And chilly in the spring. Wow.
True.
Wow. Well, you know, over 100 days on the water, you had to get a little soggy at times, right? Was there a low point? Was there a point, you know, mentally where it became difficult?
Yeah, I think probably the toughest spot for both of us occurred as we were paddling on the Hudson River. So after working our way through the Champlain Canal, kind of in the midst of that, there's a Superfund site where basically General Electric dumped a bunch of PCBs into the river. And the cleanup process, even though the use of the PCBs stopped in the 70s, the cleanup process is still going on. So we passed a bunch of, like, dredging operations and barges hauling just, like, gunk from the bottom of the river. And we were pretty sketched out by that. And we had some crummy weather, so it was cold and rainy, just, like, a couple degrees above freezing. And after we went through our last lock and we paddled past Albany, New York, we just felt the need to kind of keep pushing on, like put as much distance between us and that Superfund site. And I think that was probably a low point. We were just pretty discouraged and grossed out by the water and the area and stuff. But things got a bit better from there, I'd say.
What a perspective, though, how different things are from one, you know, spectrum or watershed to the next. And what's ahead for you two now? What's next? What after you, you know, wrap up this campaign and the signatures you mentioned, what's a deadline for those now getting in?
Well, folks have really another month or so to sign, and you can just go to paddletodc.org or savetheboundarywaters.org, and you can sign the petition there. And there's also a really good 8-minute video that you can watch on either of those websites. There's a on the homepage of paddletodc.org, it's right there at the top. It talks all about the trip and why we're doing it. So I'd encourage people to sign the petition and check out that video. And we're sort of making our migration for the winter over to Ely. We'll be leading dog sledding trips out of Wintergreen Dog Sled Lodge for the winter. And so our first trip starts on the 17th. So we're just gearing up for that.
The 17th. I'm sorry, but that's in like 3 days or something.
Yeah. No. Don't rest weary.
Sorry. Yeah, you've got 5 days. Oh, my. You guys are an inspiration, I think, to a lot of us. Adventures of the Year, Dave and Amy Freeman. Paddle to DC is the website, paddletodc.org.
That's right.
What do you hope comes about from your efforts? What's the final outcome for all this?
Well, we really are hoping that the Boundary Waters watershed, so basically all the water that flows into the Boundary Waters, will be protected from this new type of mining in a sulfide ore body. It's never been done in Minnesota. It has a very long track record of pollution. So that's really our goal, is to stop that from happening. And it's a long road, and this is really just the beginning. So we're just trying to educate as many people about the issue. There's a lot of information on savetheboundarywaters.org that, you know, can show people more about this and why we're so concerned. So we're just going to keep plugging away, keep telling people, and keep this issue in front of everybody, because it's a national issue. Everyone needs to know about this.
Amy, any parting thoughts?
Well, just I'm really glad to have done the journey. It was quite a trip, and when we made it to D.C., it really exceeded my expectations. So I'm happy that we had a chance to stand up for this wilderness area that we love. I mean, Dave and I chose to move up to the area because of the wilderness and because of Lake Superior, and so we want to see the pristine water that we have there protected.
Well said, and thank you, Dave and Amy Freeman. We're so happy you made it safe and sound to our nation's capital on your paddle to D.C. expedition, and thank you for making the time for the Roadhouse. We'll see you back up north, hopefully.
All right. See you soon.